Well, last weekend I had the early masses and I shared a little story about a teenage boy who had just passed his driving test and inquired of his father as to when he could drive the family car. His father said he'd make a deal. He said, "Son, you bring your grades up from a C to a B average, study your Bible every day and get your hair cut, then we'll talk about the car." The boy thought about that for a moment and decided he'd settle for the offer, and they agreed on it. About 6 weeks later, his father said, "Son, you brought your grades up, and I've observed that you've been studying your Bible, but I'm disappointed you haven't had your hair cut." The boy said, "You know, Dad, I've been thinking about that, and I've noticed in my studies of the Bible that Samson had long hair. Moses had long hair. John the Baptist had long hair. And there's even strong evidence that Jesus himself had long hair." And his dad said, "And did you also notice that they all walked everywhere they went?" So today's gospel is about someone who had long hair. And of course, that is John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is in prison, as we see today from St. Matthew's gospel. Now, John the Baptist is one of the great saints of Advent. We hear about him. We heard about him last Sunday. We hear about him again. Why is he such a great Advent saint? Because he prepared people's hearts for the coming of the Messiah. And the church itself is like John the Baptist during the 4 weeks of Advent, calling all of us to prepare our hearts for the celebration of the birth of Christ on Christmas. John's message was, prepare the way for the Lord. He was that great messenger prophesied by Isaiah that would come before the Messiah to prepare the way before the Lord. And we see that Jesus gives John very high praise today in the gospel. In the gospel, John had been arrested by King Herod, and John was in the prison. And when John was arrested, he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one that we've been waiting for, or shall we look for another?" Now, that's an interesting question, why John would do that. I mean, John and Jesus were cousins. They knew each other even from the womb. Remember when Mary went to visit Elizabeth? Mary had just conceived Christ in her womb. It was about a 5 or 6 day journey. So Mary carried Jesus in her womb. He was only 6 days old. When they came into the presence of Elizabeth, she was 6 months carrying John the Baptist. So John the Baptist was 6 months old. So here we have Mary meeting Elizabeth and the unborn Jesus, in a sense, meeting his cousin John, who was 6 months old. And it says, as soon as Mary's greeting reached the ears of Elizabeth, John the Baptist leapt for joy in his mother's womb. The word in scripture is that he danced, he jumped, he did a little Irish jig, I say, in his mother's womb, maybe more of a Yiddish jig, but he was filled with joy, and the tradition of the church is that this is when John was cleansed of original sin. That's always been the tradition of the church. That's because the angel Gabriel had told Zechariah, John's father, "Your child will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb." And we believe that that's the moment that John was cleansed of original sin. It's always been a teaching of theologians that perhaps that's when that happened. So notice John, you know, knew Christ. In fact, I love to think of that the first person ever to recognize the presence of the Messiah was an unborn baby. This 6 months old babe in the womb recognized the presence of the Messiah at the voice of our Blessed Mother. So we see Our Lady as the mediatrix of grace, the channel of grace, bringing Jesus to John and to Elizabeth. And John, of course, would be raised in the desert. He would preach repentance. He would call people to confess their sins, and he would baptize them. And I think there's three things that we should try to imitate about St. John the Baptist. The first was the fact that he was a witness, whether it be in his mother's womb or in the dungeon of King Herod, John was still a witness. And John called people to conversion. And then secondly, I think what we can learn from John is his humility. When people thought that John was the Messiah, he said, "No, I'm not the Messiah. In fact, I'm not even worthy to untie the sandal straps of the Messiah." That's how humble John was. John sent his disciples to Jesus and said, "He must increase and I must decrease." And that should be our motto as well during Advent. During Advent, we want to decrease. We want to decrease our selfishness, our pride, our impatience, and we want to increase the life of Christ within us. That's what holiness is becoming more like Jesus, to becoming more Christ-like. So John's humility is so profound that we should imitate that. And third, we should imitate John's courage. John spoke up in the face of moral evil. Remember, King Herod was living with his brother's wife. John could have remained silent, but he didn't. He spoke up, and eventually it cost him his life. He became a martyr to uphold the sanctity of marriage and the Ten Commandments. So John was an amazing saint for us to imitate during this holy season of Advent. And of course, today we lit this third candle on the Advent wreath. Today is called Gaudete Sunday, which means Rejoicing Sunday. And it's the only one of the 2 days of the year where the priest wears his rose-colored vestments. Some people call them pink. We like to call them rose. And this originated apparently when a priest did his own laundry and put his white chasuble in with a pair of red socks by accident. No, I'm just joking. The origin is when the church wanted to remind us that Christmas is getting close and we should be filled with joy. So the third Sunday of Advent, the church takes the purple candle and pours in the white wax, which is, the white is the color of Christmas. On Christmas, like all four candles, will be white. And so when you pour the white color into the purple, we get the color of rose. When you pour the joy into the Advent color of purple, which is preparation and penance, we get the joy, which is what we're celebrating today. And don't forget what Mother Teresa said about joy. She said it's spelled J-O-Y. And she says it's spelled that way, she believes, for a reason. The J stands for putting Jesus first, the O, others second, and the Y is yourself third. So how can we do this over these, especially next few weeks of Advent? How do we put Jesus first in our life? Well, keep coming to Mass each and every Sunday. Perhaps come to daily Mass if you can between now and Christmas. Try to read your scriptures, pray the rosary, try to spend some time in Eucharistic adoration, make a good confession during Advent. So that's how you can put Jesus first in your life. And what about others? For others, of course, you try to put your spouse ahead of you, your children's needs ahead of you. That's sacrifice. That's what true love is all about, is putting those that you love ahead of yourself. And then do something for others that they cannot do for themselves. Maybe give something to the poor, to the needy. Maybe visit somebody in a hospital or a nursing home. Visit a homebound person. Do something for others. And then the why is for yourself. Always put yourself last. And Mother Teresa says that is true happiness, is being forgetful of self, focusing on loving and serving God, focusing on loving and serving others. She says those are the people that are most at peace, most happy in this world, most filled with God's joy. We get into trouble if we think too much of ourselves and put ourselves first. So she says that is the secret of joy, putting Jesus first, others second, and then ourselves last. God bless you.